This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Mitch Tischler does a really good podcast with J.P. Finley. He does work for Monumental Sports, covering the football team, and he joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You can follow Mitch on X at Mitch_TISCHLER. Mitch, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you hitting the underscore. I get given a hard time about having the underscore in my X handle, but appreciate you shouting it out.
Well, there's a lot. You know, John Keim has an underscore because I just hit me every single time I've ever, you know, referenced John's Twitter or X handle. It's John_Keim. I don't know why he needed the underscore. How many John Keims are there out there? Maybe more. And you know, your first and last name isn't totally unusual. So somebody had at Mitch Tischler without the underscore.
Yeah, listen, if it's good enough for John, it's good enough for me. I can tell you that much.
There you go. All right, we're into the home stretch now. Four games left. This is going to be fun. It's different, obviously. The conversations we're having, I'm talking about. How many do they win, and where do they land, Mitch? In the playoffs, out of the playoffs? If it's in the playoffs, at what seed?
I think it's hard for me to imagine that this team isn't going to end up in the playoffs. They have four games left. I think they're going to go 3-1 in those four, and I think they're going to make a run at that sixth spot, but ultimately end up as the final team in the playoffs. And come Saturday at 7 p.m., the weekend of January 12th, I think we're going to be in Philadelphia for another NFC East playoff matchup.
It's funny, I was actually talking about if they were in that 7-2 game against Philly or Detroit, or, you know, one of those two, who, I guess Minnesota is also a possibility if they were to win the division and not be the number one seed. But I was asking somebody that is very familiar with the ESPN inner workings, and I'll just leave it at that, about that Monday night game, which they have, and whether or not Philly-Washington would be attractive. And they're like, yeah, of course it would be. And they're hoping to get a more attractive matchup than they've had in recent years. They've had a lot of the 4-5 games. And I think that's the thing, is that they typically, with a 2-7, the problem with playing a 2-7 on a Monday night is if the 7 wins, then, you know, the 4-5 winner, regardless, is going to play on the road the next weekend. If you get a 7 win, then you've got a short week to potentially a game on Saturday. They can do the 4-5 versus a 1 on a Sunday the following weekend. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. You have it as a Saturday night. 7 o'clock, which would be part of the doubleheader Saturday. Then there's a tripleheader on Monday and a game on Monday night, I think. What are they capable of when they get there?
Listen, I mean, with a guy like Jaden Daniels at quarterback, they're kind of capable of anything and everything. Obviously, Philly looks like they're going to be probably the 2 seed. Maybe they catch the Lions and are the 1 seed. But that was a 1-point game with 10 minutes left in that game, the first time they played up in Philly. And, of course, they get a shot next week at or 2 weeks from now, I guess, with Philly at home. They've proven that they can compete with really good football teams. You look at, you know, even the Ravens game that they were in the entire time, the Steelers game as well. This is a team that, you know, obviously, you know, didn't show up against the Cowboys in that one loss, but other than that, have really played solid football for the most part this season, and have shown that they can compete with anybody. So, you know, all you need is a chip and a chair and a spot and a shot at getting a win. And there's nobody that I look at, particularly on the NFC side, that I look at and say, man, Washington can't beat this team. And we haven't seen this defense yet with Marshawn Lattimore. And I'm excited to see what that's going to look like. Hopefully we get to see him this week. I think it's going to be a big game for him going back to New Orleans. But, you know, the secondary has played relatively well with not a ton of talent. I think you add Marshawn Lattimore, who is probably the most talented corner on this team now, maybe the most talented player in the secondary on this team now. And, you know, if he's able to play up to those expectations and be the player that we've seen him be in New Orleans, the sky's the limit here.
I'm with you, by the way, on the first part of that answer, which is, you know, you put number 5 on the field, and I feel like anything's possible in a given game. But I think I feel that way more, Mitch, today than maybe I did a month and a half ago, even though the 3-game losing skid hadn't happened. And the reason being, I think the NFC's become, at least for the moment, and things change, a little bit more wide open looking than it looked a month and a half ago. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you look at that NFC North group, and the Lions looked entirely unbeatable, and I don't know what they've shown recently that kind of changes that, though I do have some concerns with the Lions defensively, and particularly I think if they face a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, who can get out of the pocket and do a couple different things to stress your defense. But the Packers and the Vikings both are, you know, reasonable football teams that are beatable. It's just that nobody has really separated themselves in the NFC, and I think that, you know, along the lines of people not separating themselves, the Commanders, despite the 3-game losing streak, have shown on tape really good football, and their good is as good as anyone else's in the NFC. And I think it's been a very, very, very long time since we've really been able to say that about a team in the Burgundy and Gold.
What concerns you the most the rest of the way?
I mean, the defense / the run defense, I think, you know, teams have found ways to gash this Commanders front 7, not necessarily as much in between the tackles, but more on the edges. And I think so you want to see, you know, a little more solid play from the Dorrance Armstrongs of the world and Cleveland Farrells and the guys who are going to be in there more on those rundowns. More so because once they start getting beat on the ground and have to add extra resources to the running game, I think obviously that stresses the secondary, and we know how vulnerable this Commander secondary can be, despite the fact that they played better, you know, as of late.
More important to this season's success, Dan Quinn or Cliff Kingsbury?
I think it starts with Dan Quinn. I think this season should already feel like a win for Commanders fans, in that if you told folks that they were going to be 8-5, you know, kind of solidly in the playoffs, their game up on the Rams, really a game and a half when you look at the first tiebreaker, which is NFC conference record. The Rams have 5 losses in the conference. The Commanders only have 3. So really the Rams would have to go almost 4-0 or 3-1 and have the Commanders fall apart a little bit. To me, I want to see Dan Quinn continue to evolve as a head coach. I think he did a really good job early in the season being aggressive, going for it on those 3rd and 4th down, kind of keeping the pedal to the metal. I think a little bit in the 3-game losing streak, you saw a little hesitancy, and partially that had to do with Jaden Daniels' injury and, you know, the offense not operating in the same ilk that it was. But I do want to see him continue to press the gas, continue to be aggressive, continue to make winning plays on the football field. So to me, I think, you know, there's a growth for Cliff Kingsbury and a need for the offense to continue to evolve. But this season, Dan Quinn is the bigger storyline.
You know, you said something in your answer that I actually had written down a few days ago as a potential topic, although it skews towards a worst-case scenario here over the Final Four. So I've hesitated doing it. But when you said, you know, the season's already for fans, and I'm paraphrasing here at this point, felt like, you know, a success. Context is everything, because if for whatever reason they didn't make the postseason, you know, at 10-7 or 9-8, you know, because 11-6 would be an absolute lock, and 10-7's an earlock, it would feel like the biggest disappointment. Even though big picture, if we took a step or seven back from the, you know, that moment, it would still look good. But God, can you imagine Mitch Denton if they didn't make the postseason at this point? It would seem devastating. Hell, the three-game losing skid, Mitch, people were jumping off bridges saying same old, same old.
Listen, I think you and I both know this. Fans are prisoners of the moment. And quite frankly, the teams that I, you know, root for in my, you know, personal life, I'm similarly the same way, where you live and die with every snap, every game, every season, and you want the best out of every little bit of it. But by and large, you get to the off season after the quote-unquote disappointing seasons, and you're able to kind of take a deep breath, look at the big picture, and see, man, this team was really bad last year. You turned over more than half of the roster. You know, you have your quarterback of the future, which this team hasn't had for, you know, decades. And I think that you'll have folks kind of come to a little bit of a realization about where we are in this season. Now, at this point, if you were to tell me they don't make the playoffs, yes, it would be disappointing, but it would be disappointing in the moment, not disappointing when you look big picture at where the trajectory of this franchise is going all of a sudden.
You're way too reasonable for most. I think it would take until really people delved into, you know, free agency to kind of forget it. Although, you know, how it happens would matter too. But I'm with you. I don't think it will happen. I think this team right now is capable of a lot. Give me a player that you still think can, for the lack of a better description, break out over the Final Four games.
To me, I think Mikey Fainer still is going to have every opportunity to do that. I think, and maybe he's already broken out. I don't know where you stand here. I think he's been a really, really great piece for this defense. I love, he's just a rookie, but I love, you know, the leadership and control that he shows out on the field. You see him, you know, pointing, directing, communicating with the rest of the secondary, which is important. And I think when Marshawn Lattimore gets, you know, going full speed, I think you're going to see Lattimore on one side, you're going to see Fainer still on the other, probably a lot of Igbinogheni in the slot with a little bit of, you know, Mike Davis and Benjamin St. Juice rotating in. But I think, you know, as much as he was kind of pinned as a slot corner when he came to Washington, he's shown so much more than that this season. And I think operating as kind of the number two corner, if you will, assuming Lattimore is able to, you know, play kind of that number one role, I think he's going to have that much more of an opportunity to show out, because he's going to be, quarterbacks are going to target him, are going to throw his direction a little bit more, and he'll have some big time chances to create some of those turnovers that we know Joe Witt and Dan Quinn are pining for at this point in the season.
Yeah, imagine if the breakout is actually just takeaways in general defensively. If they all of a sudden become what they thought they could be from the jump, and I'm saying Quinn and Joe Witt Jr., what they had done in Dallas, which is force a lot of turnovers, because, my God, that would be a game changer, especially when you get to, what is it, January 11th at 7 p.m. in the game against Philadelphia?
I like the other pin, exactly. You know, here's my thing about the turnovers and Joe Witt and company, and early on in the season, and even as we've gone through it, there have been opportunity for turnovers. We've seen guys get their hands on the ball in the secondary. We've seen tip passes. We've seen Benjamin St. Juice, you know, break on a little out pattern. I think that was week one against the Bucks. You know, it shows you that the plan, that the game plan that Joe Witt has put together is kind of the right game plan, that he's putting guys in the right position to make plays. And I think as you look towards the future, and as you start getting, you know, some more playmakers in here, and, you know, guys who can take advantage of those opportunities, hopefully then you start seeing the turnovers go up some. But I've been really impressed with Joe Witt and his frustration with the turnovers. I kind of love because he's not just, you know, sitting by and throwing his hands up and saying, hey, man, you know, we're doing what we can. It's, you know, it's just not working right now. So the turnover thing is a big deal. And obviously, you know how big of a difference that can be in the pantheon of a football game.
Mitch fancies himself to be a PB&J aficionado. That is in his X byline. So crunchy, smooth, and brand. Crunchy or smooth, brand.
Always crunchy, no question. Jif is my go-to super chunk. Listen, if you're eating smooth, you're eating baby food. We're adults. We all have teeth. You need a little bit of texture in your sandwich. Get it with your crunchy PB, some Grape J. Make sure you lock in the edges so that the jelly doesn't leak out the sides. It's a very technical sandwich. It's something very easy, but you can't screw it up.
I'm totally with you. There's something about, and I will do it occasionally. There's something about the perfect peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm always crunchy. I like the Jif call. I like Peter Pan too. I'm more strawberry on the jam side. But, you know, that is a great sandwich and actually would be a great call at around 1:30 this afternoon. But I don't know if I'll have the ingredients here. Good job, Mitch. It's good to catch up. Appreciate it as always. Hope you're well.
Always a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Mitch Tischler, everybody. When we come back, we'll do some Denton news. Mark Zuckerman will join us at 11:35. The Nats won the lottery. They have the number one pick in the MLB draft. Who will they take when we get there, finally, months from now? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.